In 1992, nearly 28,000 rubber ducks were lost at sea in the Pacific Ocean. You see, a shipping container going from Hong Kong to the United States fell off a ship, and rubber duckies have henceforth been free to swim the world's oceans. Literally, for the last 28 years, they've traveled all over the globe to places like Hawaii, United Kingdom, South Africa, and even the Arctic. These rubber duckies just show up on a beach randomly. And yet, actually, I think it's very similar to how our life works. Only instead of rubber duckies, we have regrets that randomly wash to our beach from somewhere in our past. Your kids won't let you forget the mistakes you made as a parent. Your parents won't let you forget the decisions you made when you were a teenager. Your spouse won't let you forget a poor choice you made a few years back. And on it goes. Choices we've made, things we've done, words we've spoken, friends we've betrayed, or even missed opportunities. You then begin to wonder if it's even possible to live a life with no regrets. I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes, right? And yet there always seems to be a few people in our life that can find some kind of twisted joy in not letting us forget. And if that's not enough, we have these voices in our own head that won't allow us to let go. The lies in our head that say, you will never be good enough, or you're a bad parent, or you're a bad student, or a bad friend, even a bad Christian. And to make matters worse, we begin to believe that's how God feels about us. And so the trash of our past continues to wash up in our life, and it causes us to go down a path of if only. If only I had responded with grace instead of judgment. If only I had kept my mouth shut. If only I hadn't lost my temper with my kids. If only I had finished my degree. If only I hadn't been so imprisoned by my own insecurities and self-worthlessness. If only. It can crush our hopes and it can steal our peace. It can prevent forgiveness and trap us in so many negative patterns of behavior. Guys, did you know that regret is the second most frequently mentioned emotion after love? So you see, regrets play a big part in our life. Now, I've noticed that there are at least three unhealthy things that we do with our regrets. The first thing we do is we try to bury them. We try to bury them. How many times have you heard someone say, you know, you just gotta bury the past? Well, I know what that means, but friends, you actually don't have the ability to bury your past. Satan is not gonna let that happen. He is a liar, and he just loves to remind you of your past mistakes. He wants you to be overwhelmed with the guilt from your past. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 10, verse 10? It says, the thief comes only, now get this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and life to the full. Now, there are several ways that we try to bury our regrets. One way is we try to minimize it. We try to minimize it. In the past, I've asked a few people who've gone through a divorce if they've had any regrets. And a few times I've heard people say things like, oh, why would I? Divorce is not that big of a deal anymore. You see, they really didn't answer my question, but instead they tried to minimize it. They felt if they could minimize it, then they won't feel as bad about the divorce. Another way we try to bury our regrets is we try to rationalize it. We try to rationalize it. Now, well, yeah, I've been having an affair on my husband, but he's not romantic anymore. We think if we can rationalize it, we won't feel as bad about what we've done. And then the last thing that we try and do is we compromise. We compromise. We don't like the guilt we feel, so we lower our standards. We compromise our values, or you could say we harden our hearts. You'll hear them say, you know, I know what I've done, but I just don't think it's worth making a big deal over it. Listen, when you start to do that, you're hardening your heart or desensitizing your heart. The Bible says it's like searing your conscience with a hot iron. You know, when you brand cattle, It destroys the nerve endings where that brand goes in. So when you compromise, you sear or destroy your sensitivity towards the Holy Spirit. A second thing we do, number two, is that we blame others. Number two, we blame others. In fact, in Psalms chapter 50, it says, you sit around and slander your brother. You sit around and slander your brother. Guys, this is no more than a smokescreen. We point the finger at someone else to try and deflect the attention away from ourselves. And listen, this isn't a new thing. This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God asked Adam why he sinned, and Adam took it like a man. He blamed his wife. Seriously, it all goes back to whether or not you're big enough to take responsibility for your own behavior. And then number three, we beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. Sometimes our self-talk can get pretty harsh. I can't believe I did such a stupid thing. I'm so cruel. I'm such a jerk. Seriously, guys, I can relate to this one. I could easily spend the rest of this message just giving you examples of my failures, examples of things that I regret that I've done in the past, but I'll spare you all the details. But the first regret I remember having was when I was in the fifth grade. There was a boy in my class whose mother had committed suicide. She'd taken her own life. And I remember how bad I felt as a kid hearing that a mother had killed herself as a fifth grader. But then I remember this boy coming back to school the next week, and he was playing with all of us out on the playground. Well, I thought he should have been acting sad. So I walk up to this kid and I said to him, "You don't even care that your mother killed herself." Wow. What a horrible, horrible thing to say. I still remember at that moment, he burst into tears and he ran inside the school building. The next thing I know, I'm being called into the principal's office and they wanted to make sure I knew what a horrible thing I had just done. Well, they didn't need to worry. I was already overwhelmed with feelings of shame and regret for saying such a hurtful thing to this kid. Listen, guys, through the years, I've beat myself up by so many different things that I've done or said. Things I've said to my wife that were just mean or thoughtless. Or times I felt like I wrongly disciplined my kids. Or the insensitivity I've shown at times to people I'm supposed to pastor. Well, in Psalms chapter 38, it says, "My guilt overwhelms me." This is good. "My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink." That's a great description right there. "My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I'm bent over and racked with pain." Can you just imagine? Can you just picture this right here where this guy is just, he's so overwhelmed with his regrets that it hurts. "All day long, I walk around filled with grief." Listen, that is exactly what regret does. Some people actually get so overwhelmed with guilt, they become physically ill. And some become so distraught, they take their own life. I've seen Christians walk away from their faith because they couldn't handle the guilt from the mistakes or from the wrong choices that they've made. They don't believe they deserve God's forgiveness. Well, the truth is, guys, they don't. None of us do. So you can spend the next 20 years trying to bury your regrets or blaming other people or beating yourself up, but it's not going to get rid of the pain or the feelings of regret. Listen, guys, the Apostle Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was on a mission to have Christians put to death for their faith. You see, it was Paul who had the authority for Stephen. We read about that in the book of Acts. He had the authority for Stephen to be stoned to death. But then later, Paul has his own conversion experience, and he discovers a relationship with Christ that radically changes his life. It radically changes the direction he was going. And from that point on, Paul spent his life reaching people that were far from God. In fact, listen, the majority of the New Testament churches were started by Paul on his three missionary journeys. And yet, don't you ever wonder how Paul was able to get over his regrets? How did he get past? I mean, how do you move past the regrets of killing someone? How do you move past the idea that he gave permission for people to be stoned to death? But listen to what he writes. I think this is amazing. Listen to what he writes when he comes to the end of his life in 2 Timothy. He says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near." He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." You see, he's right at the end of his life. He knows it's about to come to an end. "And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." It was because Paul was able to move past his regrets that God was able to use him in a mighty way. And guys, I know that God wants to move past your regrets as well. Listen, God redeems and restores our regrets. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. He enables us to move past the things that keep us bound up. In fact, I'm sure all of us would love to have a do-over. There's so many things in my life. I'd love to have a mulligan. I'd love to have a second chance. And that's why, I got to tell you, that's why I love this next passage in Psalms. It says, "Oh, what joy for whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight." Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt. What joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt. That's a powerful verse. But how do we overcome the if-onlys and move into that abundant life Christ promises for us? Again, it says, God has cleared our record of guilt. Listen, guys, God doesn't want us to live in the past. We say that we know that, and yet many of us carry around a boatload of burdens and regrets that God never intended for us to carry. And that's why he said in 1 Peter to cast all of your cares upon him, because he cares for you. It's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "So now there is no condemnation." Do you see that? This is so important. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Friends, listen to me, please. If you're following Christ, your past doesn't have to dictate your future. You're not chained to your regrets. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." So the key to us overcoming regrets is being in Christ. You may want to make a fresh start or even clean the slate by yourself, but we will always need God's help. You see, when we surrender our lives to him, he has the supernatural ability to cleanse us from our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." And he also has the supernatural ability to forget our sins. That's hard to relate to. In Psalms 103, it says, "He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west." The east and the west never connect. So in other words, God has forgiven and forgotten your sins. He makes us a new creation and offers us a brand new life. Of course, you might say, but God's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So what does it mean that he forgets? He can't forget. It means that he's put it behind him. He'll never bring it up again. Listen, there's one thing, hear me on this, guys. There is one thing that you will never hear God say. "I remember what you did 10 years ago." No, you will never hear God say that. God said you are forgiven, and he said it is forgotten. So then what steps do we need to take to get rid of this guilt? What steps do we need to take to get rid of these regrets? Well, the first thing we always need to do is own it. Guys, it always starts right there. We've got to own it. We've got to acknowledge or admit our failure, our mistake. And that's tough because we don't like to ever accept responsibility. We don't like to admit that we were ever wrong. Proverbs chapter 28 says, it says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper." Did you get that? People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. It's important that we come clean with God. God, I admit what I did. You know, I cheated on my spouse, or I lied on my application, or I stole that from the workplace. I know it's wrong. I take full responsibility. I want to make it right. God, please forgive me. We've got to own it. Years ago, I read about a Texas governor that visited one of the state prisons. And he told each inmate that he would listen to whatever they had to say. And so they formed this long line. And one by one, they complained of a miscarriage of justice. Oh, I shouldn't be here. I was framed. There were others besides myself involved in this. Can you please help me? But one guy came up to the governor and he said, "Sir, I'm guilty. I did the crime and I'm ashamed of my past. But over the years that I've been here, it's helped me to become a better person. And one day when I get out, I hope that I can contribute something positive to society." Well, guess who the governor decided to pardon that day? You say, "But why?" Maybe because he was the only guy willing to accept responsibility for his behavior. Friends, that's what God will do for anyone who's willing to confess their sin or take responsibility for it. In James chapter 5, he writes, "Therefore, confess your sins." And so this is where it starts. This, if you're trying to overcome any bad habit in your life, if you're trying to overcome any struggle in your life, it starts with us confessing it to God. We got to own it. We got to own it. We got to acknowledge it. And so he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and then pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Have you ever found yourself confessing the same sin over and over to God? Day after day, you pray the same prayer. "God, please forgive me for I hurt that person." The next day, "God, please forgive me for I hurt that person." But the reality is that God forgave you the first time you asked. So either I'm not accepting that God has forgiven me, or I'm not forgiving myself. So then the second thing that I do, number two, I've got to accept God's forgiveness. I've got to accept God's forgiveness. Listen, guys, we don't discover God's forgiveness. We don't discover God's forgiveness, and yet at the same time, we can't. Let me say that again. We don't deserve God's forgiveness, and at the same time, we can't earn God's forgiveness. Okay? We don't deserve it, and we can't earn it. Forgiveness was purchased for us on the cross. It's a free gift from God, simply because He loves us. But if we don't really believe that God has forgiven us, then every time something goes wrong, we'll think it's God's punishing us. Maybe you're having car trouble, or maybe you're sick in bed, and you think, "Here we go again. I've messed up and God's punishing me for it. Friends, that's just not how God works. Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." I will remember their sins no more. So then the third thing I need to do, we need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. You know, Charles Stanley said, I love this quote. Charles Stanley said, "Forgiveness is never complete until first we've experienced the forgiveness of God. Second, we can forgive others who have wronged us. And third, we're able to forgive ourselves." Now, let me be clear. I realize that only God can forgive my sins. But what I'm talking about is that I need to stop beating myself up. I need to stop beating myself up over things that God has already forgiven me for. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past." Oh, guys, please hear this. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. It's the idea of pressing forward. It's pushing hard into the plan God has and leaving behind your past mistakes. Paul is saying you have to stop focusing on the failures of your past and start looking forward to what God has for your life. I'm reminded of the two disciples, Judas and Peter. If you remember, both of them betrayed the Lord. Judas turned Jesus over to the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver. He later struggled with regret and tried to give the money back. But he still couldn't handle the guilt, and he went out and hung himself. Peter also betrayed the Lord, and he told Jesus that he was ready to go to prison or to die for him. And yet a few hours later, he denied that he even knew who Jesus was. In fact, after he denied Christ the third time, a rooster crowed. Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And it was at that moment that Peter remembered what the Lord had earlier said to him, that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter left the courtyard crying bitterly. And for several days, he was filled with the pain and regret of what he had done to Christ. And yet we know that later, Peter was used in a mighty way for the kingdom of God. So what made the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter owned his sin. He accepted God's forgiveness and he forgave himself. And God was then able to use him. But Judas, he couldn't put his regrets behind him, and it cost him his life. In 1929, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. And just before halftime, a young man named Roy Riegels recovered a fumble from California. Somehow, he became confused and he ran 65 yards in the wrong direction. In fact, one of his own teammates tackled him at his own 2-yard line. When California attempted to punt, Georgia Tech blocked the punt and scored a safety. The team then, of course, headed off the field and went into the dressing room. Riegels sat down in the corner with the towel over his head and put his face in his hands and wept. As the second half was about to begin, Coach Price said, "Men, the same players that played the first half will start the second." Riegels looked up with tears in his eyes and he said, "Coach, I can't go back out there. I've hurt the team. I'm so embarrassed. I can't go out and face the crowd." Coach Price put his hand on Roy's shoulder and he said, "Roy, you need to get up. The game is only half over." Roy got back in the game, and those who were there that day said he played the greatest game of his life in that second half. Listen, like Roy Riegels, sometimes we're running in the wrong direction and we embarrass ourselves to the point we're not sure if we even want to try anymore. And then God puts an arm around us and he says, "Come on, get up. The game's only half over." Listen, guys, it is never too late to start over. I don't know what you've done. I don't know how you've failed. But we serve a God of second chances. I don't care who you are. We serve a God of second chances. Don't spend the rest of your life regretting the past. You know, I've heard it said that though no one can go back and make a new beginning, anyone can start from now and make a brand new end. I love that. So just know that God wants to go up and down the hallways of your mind, and he wants to erase every painful picture that hangs on those walls. You know, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 3 that says we've all messed up. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all messed up. And then if you go over to Romans 6, it says the wages of the penalty of sin is death, that you and I deserve to die for this sin in our life. But it says in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ got up from his seat in heaven. He came to this earth as that baby in a manger, what we know as the Christmas story. Then he grew into a man, and the Bible clearly says he never sinned. He never sinned. But then he willingly goes to the cross and dies for you and for me. Not for his sins, he never sinned, but he dies for your sins and for my sins. And it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become sons and daughters of God, even to those that would believe on his name." So guys, listen to me. If you're struggling today with regrets, if you're struggling, if you're overwhelmed with the guilt of your past, so much so that it's keeping you from God, you need to know that God loves you and that he has a purpose and a plan for your life, and that he died not only for your sins, he died for your regrets. And so today I just want to challenge you. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want to give you that opportunity today. I'd love to pray for you. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, as I pray, that you just repeat the prayer to yourself. If you're in a room full of people and you don't want to pray it out loud, just pray it silently to yourself. But either way, just repeat this prayer to yourself. And I promise you that not only will God forgive you, but he'll come into your life as Savior and Lord. Let me pray. Dear God, I know that I've failed you. I know that I've sinned against you. I ask you, God, to forgive me, to come into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. And now, Lord, I commit the rest of my life to loving you and serving you. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you and I praise you for those that prayed that prayer. And I'm asking, God, that you'd make yourself real to them like never before. Help them to know that their sins are forgiven, past, present, and even into the future, that you died once for all mankind's sins. Help them to know that there's no reason to hang on to guilt, because you said in your word that there's therefore now no condemnation, there's no guilt, no regrets for those that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if you prayed that prayer, it's the most important prayer you'll ever pray in your life. And I just want to encourage you, tell somebody. Just say, I prayed with Steve today to invite Jesus Christ into my life. And if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to send you a free ebook on the purpose-driven life. It's 40 short chapters. You just read a chapter a day, and I promise you that when you're done, you're going to say, okay, I understand this Christian journey that I'm on. I understand what it means to be a believer. And so all you need to do, if you want to get that book, just take out your phone and text NEXT to 85379. Text NEXT to 85379 and select salvation. And we'll make sure that book is coming right to you. I'm so proud of you guys for the decision that you've made. And again, I hope that you'll tell somebody what you did today. So thanks for joining us. And remember, don't miss our interview next week with Frank Reich, and be sure and tell all of your friends. And by the way, guys, again, it's Memorial Day weekend. And so let's not forget those that sacrificed their lives for our freedom. If you have young kids, make sure that you explain to them the significance of this holiday, that you explain to them the significance of this weekend. Be safe, guys, and enjoy your weekend. I love you.